This year we have over 150 speakers coming in to talk about the history, culture, anthropology, politics of the Midwest. And from this conference has grown a number of scholarly projects and books and new emphasis on the region. And a very good barometer of that is in a few months there will be a new book released based on those first lectures 4 years ago. It will be called The New Midwestern History. It will be published by University of Nebraska Press. The official launch date is in early September. But all of that is a product of these meetings and these conferences here in Grand Rapids.
The footprint of the Midwest.
In general, people think the Midwest begins in Ohio. It stretches all the way into the eastern Dakotas, so eastern North and South Dakota, eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas. And if people really want to know a lot about that borderland or that boundary line, there's a book coming out next year called Where Does the Midwest End and the Great Plains Begin? So you'll get 500 pages of professors dwelling on that particular point, which people are very interested in these boundary questions. In terms of the south, southern boundary, the Ohio River is the generally accepted boundary. When you get over into Missouri, it becomes a little more complicated. People think the Midwest stretches probably about halfway through Missouri, where it becomes southern. But this is not a stark dividing line. Of course, parts of southern Ohio and southern Indiana can be quite southern too. So this is the sort of debate we have at conferences like this.
The people then are very different if you break it down by region of the Midwest itself.
Yeah, this can be traced back a couple hundred years to migration patterns. For example, these hill people, as they were called back in the day, that make up Kentucky, West Virginia, etc., those are mostly migrants, Scotch-Irish migrants who came in and settled that part of the country. In the Midwest proper, let's just say Ohio, for example, it was a real mixture of people. Yankees from New England, German background farmers and small mechanics from Pennsylvania. And then, of course, you had a smattering of Scotch-Irish. And then you just had immigrants from Europe, especially in later decades, from places like Ireland, places like Scandinavia, etc. So all of this made the Midwest a real melting pot, much more of a melting pot than other regions in the U.S., like the South or New England. I mean, New England was very monochromatic throughout most of its history. So if you want to understand, you know, issues related to immigration and assimilation, Midwest is your best bet.
Describe the evolution and where the Midwest is today and how it does play into commerce and politics and the national conversation.
Well, the Midwest still has a strong economy. There still is a industrial core in the Midwest. You know, despite what everyone says about the Rust Belt, et cetera, there has been a uptick in manufacturing in the Midwest. Of course, the Midwest is the agricultural heartland. This is how we feed ourselves. And we still export lots of farm products from the Midwest. So that remains very, very important. There's been a very strong entrepreneurial streak that runs through Midwestern history, especially prominent in places like Grand Rapids, Michigan, for example, but of course in Detroit and Henry Ford and other innovators like that. The Midwest made a lot of headlines in 2016 with the way it voted. So it had a major impact on the presidential election, which very few analysts saw coming. So you will begin to see more and more studies being published about, you know, what happened to the politics of the Midwest, what happened in Michigan and Wisconsin and Iowa and Ohio. In fact, there is a new book out that is just in bookstores now by a reporter at the Pittsburgh paper about these key swing states. Selena Zito is her name, Z-I-T-O. I think she's from Pittsburgh. But she kind of explores what happened in the Midwest in the 2016 cycle.
There are a number of great authors, as you've mentioned, and they take a closer look, a deeper dive into the issues of the Midwest. A couple of keynotes who will be attending this conference. Really interesting, the areas that they're shining the spotlight. You had mentioned Joe Trotter. He's taking a closer look at African Americans in the Midwest and their impact on society.
Yes, Joe Trotter is a senior scholar who's been writing about the African American experience in the United States for many decades. His most prominent book, published probably 25 years ago, was about, I think it was entitled Black Milwaukee, and it was about these enclaves of Milwaukee, which were heavily African American, and what that experience was like. His keynote at the conference is going to focus on the African American experience in the Midwest writ large. Of course, there is a fascinating story about all of the African Americans who fled the American South, beginning around World War I, and made their way into the Midwest and changed forever cities like Chicago, cities like Detroit, cities like Milwaukee, and brought with them their own culture and brought with them the jazz age. And this is why we have jazz and blues in Chicago and other cities. And so this is a very important history of the region. People don't always think about that key part of Midwestern history when they think about the region. But Joe is going to explain all of that. And then we have another keynoter by the name of Jefferson Cowie, who has written a book about the white working class in the United States in the decades after World War II. People who worked in the auto manufacturing plants in places like Ohio and Indiana and Michigan. And what happened to them? What's their trajectory? What's their story?
Where do you see the future of the Midwest and how it will play a more prominent role in American culture?
I think the region is in a strong position. I think it will get stronger. I think this revival of interest in the history of the region is a sign of that. I also think the success of cities like Grand Rapids and Des Moines and Sioux Falls speaks to the future of the region. You know, some people, all they want to talk about when they talk about the Midwest is Youngstown or the suffering of Detroit, et cetera. But there are a lot of other places in the Midwest that are booming and thriving and doing well. And I think those stories are going to be told more and more, and people are going to be more and more aware of them. But I think there's no question there is a cultural renaissance going on right now where people are rediscovering their roots. There are more and more writers and artists and intellectuals who are deciding to remain in the region and focus their energies on the region, where for so long the tendency was to flee to the coast, to flee to LA or New York to pursue their artistic endeavors. But that's less common, I think, now, and I think more and more people are taking advantage of technology and the internet to stay where they want to be and be creative there.
Touched on some of the secret sauce there, and you've mentioned Youngstown and Detroit. What will it take for those two communities, one smaller, one much larger, to turn it around? I know it takes some time. It can take a decade. But what do you see as the elements, or what are the elements that can make that happen?
Well, I think you have to have some local people who are committed to their roots and to their region, first of all. Unfortunately, you know, in recent decades, there's been too much of a tendency to just abandon all hope, abandon a particular place, and move somewhere else. But I think you see, especially in the case of Detroit, based on what I read in the newspaper, there's kind of a redoubling of people's commitment to Detroit and the surrounding region and making it better. And I think there needs to be a little old-fashioned Midwestern practicality to all of this. I mean, you can't recreate Detroit in 1955 with a booming auto industry and, you know, the old industrial plants of that era. Things are going to be a little bit different this go around. But the Midwest is in such a strong position in terms of having great natural resources, having a beautiful place to live, having a great workforce with a very strong work ethic. Those are the ingredients of success. And I think people are increasingly realizing that.
John Locke, author, history professor at the University of South Dakota. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patrick. Great to be with you.